The following story has been brought to you by StoriesToInspire.org.
I want to tell you a story about maybe my strangest speech. I'm sitting in my office maybe 4 years ago, and I get a call from a woman. And as soon as I spoke to her, I knew this was going to be an adventure. She was from Buford, Georgia. And she said, hello. I said, hello. She goes, hello. My name is Betsy. Is there a Mr. Hooray there? I'm like, almost, one more R. She's like, well, Mr. Hooray, my name is Betsy, and I'm calling from Buford, Georgia. I'm like, I can tell from your accent. She goes, would you like to come and speak at our conference? I said, well, what's the name of your conference? She goes, it is the Christian Coalition of Technology. I said, you sure you got the right number? She's like, well, yeah, you are a minister, aren't you? I'm like, no. She's like, well, you're a rabbi, right? I'm like, not a rabbi. She goes, well, are you at least a Jew? I was like, yes. She goes, that'll be just fine. And I said, okay. I mean, what is it? She goes, I want you to come down, be our guest at our conference. And, you know, I'm like, okay, like, I don't, like, you know, never been to be before, never been sort of there. I'm like, you know what? Let me just ask my rabbi and say goodbye to my family and go to Buford. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you can have me for lunch. I don't know. So I go, before I let you go, how did you find me? She goes, I watched one of your videos on a great website called Aish.com. Awesome. I said, okay. So I asked my rabbi and I said goodbye to my family. And I boarded a flight to Atlanta and got picked up by a car and drove out to Buford. Anyone here been to Buford before? Why would you? Buford's a wonderful town, and at least what I saw at Buford, it's long patches of grass, lots of churches, football fields, and gun shops, which is just perfect. So I'm going in a church, gun shop, football field, church, gun shop, football field. I'm like, this is going to be an incredible day. And at the end of this long, long road, there was a small little hotel. And I got out of the car, and I walked into this conference. It wasn't a major hotel, and I kid you not, the conference would have been a conference that you could see in one of our communities. The conference is about technology and how technology could impact faith on children. Like, we could literally have had the same thing. And I walk into this room, and the room is packed. And there's three presenters. There's an evangelical minister, but I want you to picture this guy. He's like 35, good-looking, short haircut, and he is like, in the dictionary, if you look at, like, charisma, you see his picture. He's like, he comes in the room, and the room just lights up. He's walking out. He owns the place. Next to him is a Southern Baptist minister, African-American man. Like, the Energizer Bunny. And then there's me, the Jew from Long Island. And the conference begins. Let me give you, for those of you who aren't familiar, I wasn't familiar. The way it works, if you speak to a Jewish audience, you get up here and you give yourself, and you sweat this out. The rabbi gets up there and gives a drush and sweats it out. If you're lucky, after an hour for a Jewish audience and they like what you say, we say shkayach. Shkayach is short for yasher kalach, but God forbid we say two words. Let me turn it into like one word, which is like a half like we're coughing. Shkayach. Shkayach. So when the rabbi's done, his whole suit is drenched with phlegm for all the shkayach, shkayach, shkayach. That's it. You get a shkayach? That's the gold standard in the Jewish world. Not in the evangelical world. If they like what you say in the middle of their speech, they will scream out mid-speech, amen. Just in the middle, amen. If they really like what you're saying, I don't know how they do it. They have like this weird like ESP. They say, but not one person, like 4, 5, 10 people. I don't know how they all know to start together, but they do. And you'll get a collective, He gets up there and this guy just kills it. I mean, he kills it. He is quoting every single prophet and they are loving him. They're amening him. They're mmming him. He's talking about David and the rock of David. Although it is small, it'll slow. The big Goliath, the internet may be big, but it's our faith that makes us work because David has the name of the Lord. And you never met. And they are going out of their minds. They're amening. They're mmming. He is dancing with them. I am wedding. I've never seen this in my whole life. And he sits down. Like it's like a regular day. Then the Southern Baptist gets. Holy cow. If you think the evangelicals are fun, forget it. Southern Baptists, you've got amen and mm-hmm. Then you got extra credit words. If they like what you say, after they've gone through amens and mm-hmms, they will stand up and they will put their hands up and they will say, preach on my brother. In the middle, people just stand up and they, unbelievable. This guy, forget about it. He's like, but he's quoting guys, he's not quoting our people. He's quoting Matthew and Luke. I don't know who these people, like he's not one of ours, but he knows them chapter and verse. He's quoting and he's dancing and the people are up in the aisles. Amens, mm-hmm, preach on. He is dancing with them. I am like dripping in the corner. The evangelical's not moved whatsoever. And he's rocking and he sits down. And then it's my turn. And I get up and say, in this week's Parsha, it says, I didn't do that. Doesn't work in shul. It's going to work down there. I get up and I'm like, I tell how I prepared a whole thing about the idea of what we would consider to be like, dear B'tachtonim, have to physical, it was supposed to elevate it. You know, spirituality doesn't mean non-physical. It means the elevation of physical. And I do a whole speech about how there's something in this world that can be a potential tool for God. And I am getting no amens. I am getting no mm-hmms. And you can be sure I am not getting any preach on my brothers. And it's uncomfortable. You understand? It's been a half an hour of a total dance fest. And the Jew boy's up there and it's like a library. And I'm going out of my mind. I'm like, I don't understand. I was like, I prepared and I'm going. And the problem was that I'm from New York. And when you're from New York, you talk as fast as the words come out of your mouth. Because the minute you stop, someone's barreling right over you. In the South, that's not how it works. You got to talk slowly and you got to give them a runway to get the amen. And I didn't know that. And there was no handbook for if you're a Jew and you end up in a Christian place, how do you get an amen? No one taught me that in school. And I'm like dying. I'm going out of my mind. And I'm going and I'm trying. And at some point, I'm like, you know, Hashem, whatever. I don't need an amen. I'll just live with shkayachs. If that's my lot in life, to just get a bunch of shkayachs, fine. I'm a kabel all of your judgments. I'll go back to New York and I'll live with phlegmy shkayachs. And I'm going, thank you. And I'm going, and I'm just into it. I'm like, let him go. And I'm talking about this time. You have to elevate what we have and do it for the sake of God. And I take a breath because I'm exhausted. And in the corner of the room, a guy goes, amen. And I'm like, sir, I want to let you know something. I was up here the whole time and I'm like, I'm not getting any amens. And I was getting a little subconscious, but I want to just thank you so much because I really appreciate your amen. And the crowd found out that this Jew boy wanted amens. They amened me to death. And I was all in. I was like, and they're like, amen. And I'm like, and can I get an amen? Like, amen. I'm like, can I get a preach on? And they're standing in the aisles. They're amening me. It was the best day of my life. I called my wife. I said, Dina, we are moving to Buford. Like, what about Jewish schools? I'm like, forget the Jewish schools. They amen you down here. So the conference is over. I didn't want to leave, but apparently it was over. And I booked a flight from Delta that was like leaving, I don't know, 9 o'clock at night. So they put me into a room for a flight. And I told them that I'm kosher. Like, what do you eat? I'm like, just get me a few pieces of fruit. And they went all out. Like, they bought every single piece of fruit in the entire state of Georgia. So it's me, a little conference room, and the Garden of Eden. So I'm sitting in the room, Wi-Fi, and just pounding fruit. About 10 minutes later, the evangelical minister comes in. And he walks into the room and he closes the door. I'm like, oh, okay, this is the moment. So he looks at me and goes, good job in there. I'm like, you get this all week. He's like, yeah, every time I speak, they usually, I'm like, wow. Talking for a few minutes and then he gets really serious. And I'm like, no, we don't put blood in the matzahs. That's not how it works. This whole thing is made up and we're good people. It's not like that. I'm like, what? So he looks at me and he says, I know. I'm like, what? He's like, I know. I'm like, I'm so happy that you know. Because I guess you think that I know too. So you know and I know. So let's just at the same time say who we know. You go first. So he says, about you people, I know. I'm like, okay. What is it about our people in particular, if you wouldn't mind, that you want to start with that you know? So he says, you know, I grew up and I was always a man of faith. My grandfather had a ministry. My father had a ministry. I knew right away when I was going straight to the ministry. I love the Lord. I love the Bible. And this guy can quote chapter and verse like I've never seen. He's quoting Zechariah. I can tell, I don't even know half the stuff that he's saying. I'm like, you're probably right. I just gotta look at the Hebrew. He goes, well, I gotta tell you something. When I'm in my church, I always have this thought that somehow God hooks you people up. Something about you and God. He's always hooking you up. And it always bothered me. It seems like God is always taking care of the Jewish people. And once I got to a certain level in his ministry, he was able to take his first trip to Israel. And I took a mission to Israel. On the last day of the mission, my tour guide said, tomorrow we're going to see the most sacred place right now in the world, the Western Wall. This is the last remnant of their temple. And tomorrow we're going to go there, be able to pray. And he thought, thank God I have this tour guide because it's probably close to the public. But this guy can like hook us up and get us in. So the day came and I woke up in the morning and I got to tell you, I was sorely disappointed. I expected to see nobody there except for a few really holy Jews. The place was open to the public. I saw a group of people taking pictures. Kids were dancing. Tourists were snapping pictures. The one thing you have left, the most sacred place you have on earth, you don't cord it off. You don't seal it up. It's open to anybody who wants to walk in. How could that possibly be? And I was so upset. And on the way out, I asked the tour guard, how could it possibly be? This is the Jews' last remnant of their holy temple, the most sacred place they have on earth, and they don't keep it for themselves. They open it up to anybody that wants to walk in. It's public property. Isn't that a desecration? And tour guide said, no, you don't understand how it works. The temple was the place in which God dwelled in this earth. And we don't believe that God belongs to us. We want the whole world to know he exists. In fact, that temple was a place that they used to bring sacrifices. Even non-Jews would bring sacrifices in that temple. Because this is the God we want the whole world to see. So if anything, when we have a place of the temple, we want people to come in and tap into a little bit of divineness. And as I walked out, I realized why God hooks you up. Because you're his people. And you're tasked with bringing him to the world. So since you're working for the man, you might as well get company benefits. This is what you do. Your job is bringing him into the world. So I understand if you're bringing him into the world, you deserve to have certain benefits. So I got on that plane and I got to tell you, I had a very interesting flight home. Because part of me was so proud to be a Jew. Like I'm a nobody. I got a call from somebody. So it's funny because as I walked out, I go, how did you get me? He goes, when I got back from Israel, I told my secretary, I'm like, Betsy? She's like, yep, Betsy. And said, I told my secretary, we're doing a conference about technology, my first conference. Get me a Jew. I'm like, I'm happy I was the one. Thank God for Aish.com. I got on that plane and I got to tell you, I had mixed feelings. Part of me was so proud. I'm a regular nobody, and yet I'm part of a people that's so glorious that some guy in Beaufort comes back from the greatest state in the world, greatest country in the world. Because I happen to be born as a Jew, because I happen to be a Jew, I'm connected to this nation. Part of me felt like, is he even right? Are we really that nation? If someone would look into our lives, would they say, oh, these are the people that work for God all day? If somebody saw how we acted and spoke and what we did and our goals, would they say, oh, of course, these are God's people? I almost feel like we're like in the Tale of Two Cities, you know? How many parents have a kid come to me and go, how can you tell about your day? And the kid goes, because I didn't get an A on the test. I figured you wouldn't want to talk to me. Because why would you talk to me if I don't get an A? And a dad or a mom goes, what are you kidding me? You think I need you to get an A to talk to me? I'm your mom. I want you to tell me everything. And the kid goes, why would you want to hear about all the little things? Go, what are you kidding me? I want to know about the bus rides and all about your friends. Is there a parent in the room that is looking at their kids and going, only if you get A's, I want to spend time with you? You know what it means to be a parent? It means that I don't love you if. I love you, period. I love you just because you're mine. I love you when you win and when you fail. I don't need a condition to be in your life. I am your parent. Do you understand the level of torment that a parent would feel if a kid doesn't look up and say, I had no idea. I thought you only loved me when I did well in school. When you look up at God and go, I didn't know you wanted to be, have a relationship. I only thought you were with me when I was being a perfect Jew. I'm not a perfect Jew. You love me as a regular, totally flawed Jew. I can try to be better, but what? And Hashem says, you think I'm just a Malkeinu? You think I'm just a king? You don't even get to the king until you get to Avinu. You think I'm just a king? You don't think I'm your dad? Oh, you got the Amalek virus. Root that out. Because you can't be my nation. You can't be glowing with godliness if you think I'm only around when you're perfect. Because you're in this earth to show people what it means to find God in a boardroom. What it means to have children and see God in your children. That's the hardness. That's the challenge. That's the opportunity of what it means to be his nation. And the challenge and the happiness rests in the world of regular. And Adar is the month of regular. The holiday is regular. The story is regular. Everything is regular. And if you can find Hashem in regular, then you have him forever. When you find that the person that you love loves you when you fail, if you're married and you find that your spouse loves you when you fail, you have that spouse forever. As soon as a kid realizes that mom and dad still love me, even though I brought home a bad report card or I failed, I remember as a kid, I never felt close to my mom than when I missed the winning shot to a basketball game. What do I know? It's sixth grade. I missed the shot. I came home. I couldn't come out of my room. My mom goes, you think I care about the stupid shot? The thought that a kid has that you don't got to impress your parents because your parents love you no matter what. You know what that feels like for a child? Happiness. Mishenichnas Adar. Marba b'simcha. Maybe that's what we're missing as Jews. Maybe we have everything except for that clarity. Maybe just maybe our nation right now has everything. Everything. Except for one little bit of clarity. That our Father in heaven loves us no matter what. There's a great rabbi in Israel named Rav Tzvi Meyer. Rav Tzvi Meyer says that if you want to know what will bring and hasten the redemption, it's the fact that we need to impart into our hearts as Godel, the greatness of Ahavas Shem Lanu, the greatness of God's love for us. Maybe, just maybe, we became those people, who knows? When they call us for the technology conferences and they say, I brought you down because you know what you do for a living? You work for God. You can look at them and go, you know, I may look like a doctor and a lawyer and a mom and a nurse, but you're absolutely right. You know who I work for? I work for my dad. Because too many people think that my dad only loves a few righteous people. And I'm on this earth to show everybody that he's in my life. He's probably in your life too. So it looks like I'm a regular person, but you know who I work for? I work for the company. I work for the man. And that should be the greatest gift that we give him and we give ourselves. And if we live like that, I think in my heart, we'd walk around and we'd have good days and bad days, but it wouldn't matter because at the end of the day, we'd walk around and I think we would touch the true measure of simcha.
Enjoyed this story? Come again. Bring a friend. StoriesToInspire.org